Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. The purpose of Let's Talk Caregiving is to stimulate discussion, bring awareness, and connect individuals with the services available on the community and at SCRC. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of SCRC, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Marta Rañón, Director of Government and Community Affairs.
Hey, Roberto. Glad to be here.
Welcome. Today, we want to talk about the importance of self-care as a caregiver. This is a very important topic because a lot of family caregivers, they put the needs of the person that they're caring for first, almost on a regular basis, even to the detriment of their own health. Did you know that if you care for a spouse between the ages of 65 and 95, and you are experiencing mental health or emotional strain, you have a risk of dying that is 63% higher than that of people your own age who are not caregivers?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, caregiving, it's a population at risk. And we joke and sometimes we say, you know, if you want to remain healthy, don't be a caregiver.
Yes.
But we know that that's not the reality. But self-care is something that we don't really think about when we're caregivers.
No, and that's a very sobering statistic that you just shared, Roberto, because if there is such a high-risk population out there, and with caregivers growing and people living longer and even living multi-generations together, we're going to see a lot of side chronic conditions, you know, comorbid conditions because of caregiving.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's that old saying, and I've heard you say this before, Martha, in some of your classes, if you think of the analogy of you're on an airplane and something goes wrong and the oxygen masks fall, you're supposed to put it on first.
Yes.
Before you can help somebody else.
But that's so counterintuitive because we want to put it on the person that we are caring for, not us necessarily. That's not the focus. We're focusing on that individual. But it can also be applied to self-care. We have to care for ourselves, or else we also fall victim to pains and diseases and you know, being sick all the time and stressed.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we've talked about this in the past. Caregiving is a roller coaster. It's an emotional roller coaster. And the longer you're caring for somebody, especially with a chronic disabling condition like Alzheimer's disease, you are at very high risk of developing depression.
Yes.
Caregiver burden. In fact, almost 70%, anywhere between 60 and 70% of caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease will suffer from clinical depression. So self-care is extremely important, but it's not practiced.
No, you know, I've talked to so many caregivers, and they'll tell me their stories, they'll share their experiences, and never really do they incorporate self-care. It's all about the person they're caring for. And then the secondary conversation is, and now I'm worried about my health. Now I see and I notice that I am deteriorating. I am having, you know, stress-related pains, and I don't know what to do, and I feel all alone. And that is because oftentimes caregivers neglect their own self.
Absolutely. In fact, I have a friend of mine who is a caregiver for his wife, and he just recently had to be hospitalized.
Oh, wow.
And he is caring for his wife on a regular basis. He gets occasional help once in a while from some of his family, but it's maybe once or twice a week. It gives him a chance to get out, but he's there 24/7, right? So even when he has a few hours of relief, he's still the primary caregiver. So he was hospitalized recently, went into the ER, and he thought he was having a heart attack, and it was anxiety. But his blood pressure was up. He was feeling dizzy. They had to get him to the hospital. His family did. And fortunately, he's fine, and they're under control. But the doctor immediately said, this is related to your caregiving.
Well, that is good that the doctor said that, because sometimes we need to hear that.
Oh, yeah. And I think as caregivers, we're often in denial of how much work we're actually putting into it. And we don't recognize what we're doing, how much time we're spending. And other people actually aren't patting you on the back either. So it's a thankless kind of job in many ways, although we do it with love and we do it because we want to help that individual that we're caring for. But it is very stressful and it's very lonely. And after a while, you end up just being the caregiver and you don't think about anything else but that person.
You just do it and you live in the moment and you are just focused on what's in front of you. I remember when I was a caregiver and never did I plan, well, what am I going to do for myself? I just went from one thing to another, and as her disease progressed and I became more involved in her care, it was never about me. It was about the person that I was caring for.
Right.
And I realized it afterwards, after she was gone, that, wow, I really did a disservice to myself. This is the only self I have, and I am the one that should be taking care of myself. And yet it was the first thing that went by the wayside.
We know that a lot of family members, especially that come to us here at Southern Caregiver Resource Center, we know that they are at a point many times where they're already suffering from depression, they're already having health issues, a lot of emotions, anxiety,
yes,
even anger and or guilt that mm-hmm. about their asking for help. But we know that it's important for them to receive help. It's important for family members to accept that others should be helping, or they should be incorporating resources.
Or that you can't do it alone.
Right.
Sometimes it even takes that step to realize that we cannot do it all.
Absolutely. And what are some things? I know, Martha, you teach all the time, and I'd love for you to share. What are some things that caregivers can do to incorporate self-care into their life?
Well, and what I tell caregivers that it doesn't have to be something that's very strenuous, like saying, oh, I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week and spend an hour, because sometimes that's not even possible. Mm-hmm. But if exercise is something that you want to do, then incorporate it into your day. Take a walk. Even if it means taking the care receiver with you, at least you're outside. We're so lucky to live in San Diego. It's mostly sunny.
Right.
And we can enjoy the days that we have here in this beautiful city. And that could be a way to incorporate that. I often talk about reading. I love to read. And sometimes that's my escape still. And I remember when I was caring for my great aunt, I would love to read a book and say I finished it. And it would take me months, perhaps even a year to finish reading mm-hmm. the book. But really, is it about finishing the book or just spending some time by myself reading? So if that's something you like to do, then what I suggest for caregivers is carry that book with you, whether it's in your car, in your purse, or next to you in the living room. Pick it up, and maybe you read a page today, or maybe you read a chapter, or maybe you read for 10 minutes, whatever the time frame is. Sometimes you might have to be flexible, but that is your me time.
Yes, and I know that some of the classes that we teach here at SCRC, especially through the REACH program, the Resources for Enhancing Alzheimer's Caregiver Health program, they actually go through quite a bit of exercises to teach family caregivers how to self-care, and some of them include just simple breathing exercises,
yes,
guided meditation.
Listening to music. Yes.
Those tactics, those activities actually help reduce your blood pressure, help reduce your stress, and make you feel calm. It's almost like yoga without being out there
doing mental yoga.
It's mental yoga. Yes.
It's what I call it. And absolutely, I think what we need to do as caregivers is remember, first of all, be aware. I am stressed.
Yes.
This is overwhelming. I need a break. I need a time out. It's okay to even verbalize that. I need a break right now. What are you going to do during that time frame that is going to help you clear your mind? And so you might have different activities in mind. You might have the book, like I said earlier, or the walk, or maybe just breathing or listening to music. Whatever it is, whatever that interest is for the day for you, that's something that you can do within that simple time frame. It doesn't have to be a extensively coordinated activity.
And I think one of the other things, we've sort of touched on it, but not directly, is the idea of getting a break with some respite. So respite meaning temporary relief of your caregiving duties as a caregiver. And that could happen in all different kinds of ways. But a lot of families are actually reluctant mm-hmm. to accept the respite because they feel guilty.
Guilty, yes.
Right?
Yes, and I know it's easier said than done. I remember me being in that situation as well, saying, oh, no, it's not about me. It's about the person I'm caring for. But allowing yourself that respite helps the care receiver as well as you as the caregiver, because it allows you that separation, that time out.
Right, and they're interacting with somebody different.
Exactly, and then you come in fresh, having, you know, taken a breather,
right.
And now you can tackle the challenge without being at the level of frustration where you maybe were before.
Right, and we know that having respite services along with comprehensive services like a family consultant to work with you throughout some of these emotional roller coasters that you're going through, provide guidance and coaching and teaching, going to support groups. We know that respite in combination with all of that really helps for
yes.
the overall well-being of a family caregiver.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's different types of respite. You know, so you have respite where an in-home care provider goes to your home several times a month and provides a certain number of hours, and there's also adult daycare centers. I think you experienced that as a caregiver.
Yes,
you had that.
I actually benefited from adult daycare center, not so much because I was there, but I was taking my great aunt, and it allowed me, gave me that respite. Well, first of all, it allowed me to go to work, which
right.
is what I was doing, but it also allowed me to before, and I share with my classes sometimes this story, where I knew she was there until a certain time.
Right.
So what I would do is before I went to go pick her up, I gave myself that separation, that transitional period.
Right.
So I went from work and then walked around, took a breather, took a break, ready to pick her up. And now I was approaching her and whatever challenges might be coming with her needs in a different way. Because
right.
I was no longer heightened. I was no longer stressed. I was now more calm and able
right.
to deal with what was happening.
And I'm assuming, having participated myself as an active observer in some of these daycare centers in the past, some of the good ones here in the county of San Diego, that your aunt was probably being stimulated, probably engaging in music and some activities.
She was socializing
right.
and she was engaged.
Right.
And
right.
there was somebody who would take care of her when I couldn't because I had to go to work.
Right. And then there's also residential care. And we think of residential care like assisted living or memory care units. We often think of them as a place where they're going to live. That's their permanent residence. But a lot of residential care facilities provide temporary relief overnight, weekends, a week-long stay. And these are all other options that families can have for respite. And then, of course, it's the informal respite.
Yes.
It's the family
yes.
coming.
Yes, I was just going to say,
yes.
you know, sometimes I feel that caregivers, you know, when we talk about formalized respite, they said, oh, no, I don't have time. I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't even want to think about how you pay for that. But it's also asking for help, which we talked about earlier, and can say, hey, you know, Roberto, can you come in and just take care of mom for an hour while I run some errands?
Right.
And it could also be a neighbor. It could also be a friend. It could be a church member. It can be a colleague. It doesn't have to necessarily be your family, although it could be something as simple as, hey, come and help me clean the house.
Right. Yeah, and all of that helps give you the ability to take care of yourself.
Yes.
I think the biggest key for all of that, though, as a caregiver, is that acceptance, that realization that even if you feel you're not doing enough or you could do more, you actually have to step back and take care of yourself so you're not the one that ends up in the ER.
Yes.
So you're not the one that ends up with a heart attack. I mean, again, being a caregiver, especially with a chronic disabling condition like Alzheimer's disease or another type of form of dementia, is very, very stressful. And over time, you're going to end up dedicating more and more time.
Yes, it's going to get progressively
right.
more challenging.
Yeah, so self-care is so important and something that we should always think of not as something to do because you're so stressed, but something to do to prevent you getting to a point where you become ill.
And what I tell caregivers is the soonest that you start incorporating that on a daily basis, the better habits you will develop because it would just be part of your day.
Right. And what's really neat is, and kind of a little announcement here, the County of San Diego has just approved a respite cost-sharing voucher program, and SCRC was selected as the organization to provide this service out in the community. Yay! So now we have additional respite funds beginning this year, which will be activated really soon, and so that people can contact SCRC for help and find out more about this new respite voucher program.
I really hope people take advantage of that.
It's a really great idea, and I'm really happy that SCRC was awarded the contract to be able to deliver that service. I mean, we have years and years and years of experience providing respite to families, so it's nice to be able to add additional money.
Yes, that's amazing. That's great.
So as a caregiver, you know, you must find sources of renewal for yourself. This means taking care of yourself as a whole person, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And self-care is a big part of that. This topic, again, very important. We see that when people don't take care of themselves, they do end up ill.
Yes.
Their health suffers. And there's ways to mitigate some of that or get around it and just contact Southern Caregiver Resource Center and talk to one of our counselors and get some advice.
Come to one of my classes.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Or go to one of Martha's classes out in the community. I mean, they're fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting and sharing her stories in another stimulating discussion about caregiving.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And I want to remind our audience that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. And remember, SCRC is here for you.
Caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.